5344 to secure your place.
Welcome to Resettled Radio, brought to you by the ARCC, live on Planet FM.
Stay tuned for current affairs, conversation, interviews, music and more,
as we explore the perspectives and stories from resettled communities,
and bring you information from within the resettlement sector.
Yes, you're online on Planet FM 101.6, and this is ARCC's Resettle Radio, and this is Joby here, and I do have
Sean with you.
And today, just we are going to be talking about, vaccination, right? So today, because one of the reasons that we choose this topic is because it's a major topic in US, and it has been a major topic in New Zealand as well, it's pretty much like a global epidemic thing, and majorly it's right now being talked as the issue in US after United States declared to remove their religious affiliation, because previously parents have the choice to whether to vaccinate their children or not.
Yeah.
But right now the US removed that after the epidemic of measles. Right, so which was the case that we came across. So we just wanted to talk today about, and we will start the conversation just by the song. It's called "The Hymn for a Weekend," the Coldplay.
Oh, okay.
Let's listen to the song and start the conversation.
Stay tuned and go away because we have a lot to talk about today.
Yeah, yeah, and it's a good morning as well.
Oh, yeah.
So heavy.
Yes, it's so refreshing, right? And I think it's a very nice song. I was like, I was watching the video, and it just had all the moments from India, and I was like, oh shit!
I really like it. It's good.
Yeah, it's so colorful, and that's how your morning would be. And hi, how about you guys? Just asking, how are you? How are you, Godluck?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm trying to survive in the heat.
Yeah, the heat wave. Oh my god!
I didn't know it would be like that.
Yeah, it's like 30 degrees in Hobbit, and I was like, why would the New Zealand reach 30?
Yeah.
I never ever had a 30 degree in New Zealand, right?
I think we the global warming, I think, is coming real now.
Yeah, it's become so real,
yeah,
right?
But we are feeling it.
Yeah, but you know, even we can't even make Donald Trump believe that it's real.
Yeah, he still is claiming the world is getting cold.
Yeah, he's just claiming that we have the coolest and coldest weather ever.
I think one of our topics too would be how can we help the environment, you know, because it's like when you live in your house, you want your house to be clean. This is the same we should have done to our environment. We live in it. It is our planet, and no one else will take care of it if we don't.
Yeah, and as one of the things that I learned today on the morning, because I was watching the news, you know, it was kind of a video from New Zealand Conservation, and they say that it's one of the highest year to have a increased number of seeds from native plants.
Oh, really?
Right, because it has happened before. Because I learned that in the in my ecology classes, that New Zealand had the stored population, the red and stored, the population has increased because they had the longest summer, right? And why? Because it just have so much, you know, summer, the hot weather and the higher UV, and that's led to native plants producing a lot of seeds, right? And that's leading to reds and stored population increasing, and that's leading to our native birds being killed by storks. Because, you know, storks, if you do have a lot of storks, they're always, you know, invasive, and they always go and kill, you know, and feed on the birds, which are native. Right? So they talked about, you know, how you can, you know, New Zealand have to prepare for it, because it never happened, you know, it's only very rare event, right? And climate change, you know, always leading to this kind of disruption in our normal ecosystem, right? So,
but I think we are very lucky that, especially those of us who came from different places, that we end up in New Zealand. I think this is a very good luck to us, I can say, because we live here in New Zealand, where there are laws in place how to govern our environment and how to take care of our environment. We come from places where there is no rule of law. You know, there's no rule of law of how you can protect your own environment. So where I come from, the wildlife and you know, and those environmentalists who are supposed to take care of the environment, they are the ones who are cutting down the trees, you know, timbers and teak trees and deforestation. They are the ones doing it. So they should be the ones stopping us not to do it.
Yeah,
so they are encouraging it. So here in New Zealand is something opposite. So the government has rules in place to protect our environment. So what is missing is us to do our part. You know.
And they also have a reforestation program, and there's a lot of money that's been spent on New Zealand conservation, because it's one of the ideal things for tourism because of, you know, our natural resources.
That's right.
And the second thing that I recently talked to was, you know, because I was having a conversation from someone from, you know, Ngāti Whātua, from, you know, the Auckland Iwi and in a region in Tamaki region in Auckland. So I had a conversation with some of them who were from Ngāti Whātua. And one of the reasons that most of the lands are reserved because of the Maori, right? Because the indigenous community in New Zealand, when they fought for treaty settlements, you know, when they fought for land grab, they forced the government to implement a policy to conserve the land, because Crown doesn't want to lose the land.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They don't want to give back the land.
Mm.
So they said, all right, make it reserve, right?
Okay.
Make it public. Right?
Mm.
So when it's become reserved,
a public use,
because it's become public use and became a government property and also something that's as a reserve, right? Because the government can't use it.
Yeah.
Right? So it became a reserve, and government has spent money on maintaining it. right? So it's become a government responsibility to maintain the land that's owned by the government itself.
That's reserved.
Right? It's reserved. And this is something that's, you know, uniquely, and it's one of the things that majorly that people can do. It just start from your house, is separation of your garbage and using less plastics.
Yeah, less plastics. Now, I went to Countdown the other day, and then I saw that there's this garbage bag, which is environmental friendly. I've never seen that. I say, oh, that's cool. I bought about 3 bags of them, big bundles. And then I said, yeah, this is cool idea. We've got that idea, you know, got the right idea.
Yeah, and that's something that's shift to the next generation, right? Because it has been doing something bad to our whole planet, right? Plastics and polythenes, they always end up to, you know, oceans and landfills, and they take 100 years to decompose.
Yeah.
And one other side, the government implemented, you know, ban on the single-use plastics, which is so good to the level that at least we can recover from what we have done.
I'm for that the plastic bags should be banned.
Yeah, and
I'm pro it.
In one other side that we just say that, all right, they ban single-use plastic, but there is a gap for recyclable plastic, right? So think about, you know, also prefer from even someone, because some of the companies, you know, some of the enterprises, they can't produce, you know, single-use plastic because they might have a repeated usage. So if we can force them to make them, make their product reusable, recyclable.
Yeah.
Right?
And you know, in AICC AGM last year in November, you know, a lot of things were mentioned, were talked about in the AGM. But one of the good things, one of the positive things, and one of the positive outcomes that came out is the change, the amendment that was made in the Constitution of ARCC that included, there was a clause that was inserted there in the Constitution about the environmental protection. And because it came out that we had a workshop last time conducted by HERS Action Trust and, you know, protecting the environment. And the communities were really attached to that because they heard some of the things that they have never heard before. And they didn't know it was that serious because the woman by the name Granada, she's the one in charge of the HERS Action Trust, and she was the one who made the presentation. So she made it like brought in a different in different ways, different images, and you know it caught the eyes of the community, and it's well presented, and it's like that's how it works nowadays. Say yeah, that's our environment now. It's slipping away,
yeah,
you know, in our own eyes.
That's something very notable between, you know, ethnic communities, even resettled communities, right? Because we came to the country as migrant and refugees, right, as a new arrivals, and we got resettled into the country, but we still take a longer time to shift to learn, you know, what is happening around us. So because sometimes, you know, lack of education can be a biggest tool, and access to technology back in the country, we might not, because I never even thought about Google before I come to New Zealand, right? So there is a gap that, you know, need to be filled, right? So that's one of the roles of the ARCC, you know, doing those sort of events could facilitate their learning about environment, right? Because we need to repurpose our learning to environment, especially to next generation, right?
That's right.
We need to tell them how to prepare, how to, you know, plant a tree, and let them plant trees, right? Let them, you know, be safe around environment, you know, how to become eco-friendly, you know. So if you change the next generation, you break the cycle, right? You break the cycle of people going to, you know, a supermarket and taking a plastic bag versus people going to supermarket and taking biodegradable or environment-friendly, right, bags, which is what I do see as a change. Right, and that start from the single ban, you know, the ban on the single-use plastic.
Yeah.
So we talked, we talked about plastic and eco-friendly. that's a good thought.
I think that's a good topic to talk about. And I think it's very big. So what ARCC is doing this time, instead of the monthly meeting that the communities do every month, so ARCC will go to the communities and conduct workshops there. So let's say one of the workshops that we will be doing in March will be about employment. And it depends what community is ready. Maybe Burmese community, maybe Afghan community, maybe Eritrean community. I don't know which community. Or maybe Sri Lankan community. But maybe the next one will be about environment. So this is where the missing gap is, because they don't get all the information they're supposed to get. Yeah. But who will be giving those information? Because it is two-way, you know. The government, too, has policies in place. But if the communities, you know, there are several communities do not know those policies, how will they understand?
Yeah. Even people not knowing, you know, how to utilize worker income is a major issue, right?
It's a major issue. Even there was one guy we had the other day, he did not even know where he would find worker income because he was never been there.
He
didn't know.
It's a very realistic problem, and it's very important to educate the communities, right, at the level of communities, to tell them that this is available to them. You know, you can seek that help, you can get the support, you know, and you can utilize the service.
Yeah, if you have never, you know, received any services, you know, that's why it's good to ally, you know, to get connected with the communities. You know, you never know what you will need. I'm talking to those who are new in the country. You know, in this country, it's very good. First, you know, don't fear about your security. Your security 100% secure. Forget about the fears that came with you. I know there's a trauma there, but it will go gradually until you get settled, you know.
Yeah.
What happened, don't let yourself be hosted by the past, but what happened to you. You know, things happen. People learn from them. Just turn them around, make them positive, move forward.
Yeah. That's a good question you came across, you know, because one of the things that I always ask for, you know, even sometimes, you know, people were very curious to know what really happened to us at the past.
Yeah.
But I always tell them that don't ask those questions, you know, because what refugees try to do when we come from trauma, we always trying to focus our future, right?
Yeah.
And I will really say, you know, if you're newly coming, you know, you had, you know, traumas back in the time that you were, you know, at the refugee camp, or you were at the country that you came across trauma, but focus on your future.
Yeah,
right?
Focus on the future. You know, a lot of things they say, if you throw it's turned to ever a barking dog, so you will not get to your destination.
Yeah.
That's what is happening.
Yeah.
In anything that you had in the past, don't think about that. You know, look back to see how far you have come. You know, not about, you know, the past is dragging you down. Because that's the thing about the past, it will hold you down. You will never go forward. That's why you need to forget about it. Just focus.
Yeah, and, you know, pretty honest, like, refugee communities are much more resilient, and they do amazing work around the world, right? And one of the things that, you know, good with them is they always focus on their future and, you know, do something that's, you know, with their life, you know.
Yeah.
They always do something, right? They at least go for work, you know, do something. If they get a free time, they does that and they does that. And it's pretty cool. And keep doing that, you know, keep going there. And if you don't have knowledge, you know, access resources from ARCC, you know, just ask them, you know, would you know what sort of things that I have to look for? And they would be able to direct you to, you know, probable services available to you, right? And
I had a conversation yesterday with one of the women. I think she's a social worker. And then she called me because she was helping another woman from Taiwan. And then she said, I don't know what to do, how to do. I don't know what to do and how to do it. Because this woman came from Taiwan and she got a residency. And now she's homeless, you know, living in the street. And then I said, oh, wait a minute. It can't be like that. What about Wins? Does she go to Wins? She said she doesn't want to go to Wins. Say, okay, that's what is happening. So as those who are coming from different places, we never had our rights, you know. if you nothing called free, because once you get it, there's you have to pay it back. So people come here with that mindset. So now she's thinking whatever the wind is giving her, she will pay it back. You know, she doesn't know her rights, and that's one of the problems. This is why the people should be educated. You know, once you come to New Zealand, you have all the rights like everyone else. You know, it's all about going with what is provided to you, connection with people too.
And it's also utilizing, you know, as you said, you know, the lack of information is one major thing. That not knowing that work and income also facilitate your employment. They are very responsible to facilitate your employment, your transition. They need to give you information that you need it. Because that's one of the things that I always talk about, because at some time people do think that work and income have a very negative review. Mm. That's being honest, that work and income does have a negative review, just because I also went through work and income and I just see that they just treat you, if you don't know anything, if you don't know your rights, if you don't know what you can access to, they will treat you very bad.
Yeah, also right? Also on my own I don't condemn work and income.
Yeah.
Because work and income is working for the people. They are giving services to the people they do not even know.
Yeah.
They don't even know their background. They don't even know where they come from.
Yeah.
There was a time I represented a lady. She came from Eritrea, from an African woman. And then I took her to work and income, and then the work and income, I think, turned her down, I think, four times. Yeah, but when I went with her, I got the caseworker, and then I explained the background of the person.
Yeah.
You know, first, you might be the point of healing for her.
Yeah.
Whatever you say, it might heal her,
yeah,
instead of hurting more. She said, to be honest with you, I was never told this. Nobody told me such things. Yeah. Say, because there's a gap here. That's what we are trying to fulfill. You know, all the advocacy agencies should educate, you know, the service providers.
The service providers.
Yeah, there should be some sort of awareness there.
Yeah, and I really, you know, on my way, you know, I really agree on what you said. You know, there is a biggest gap in, you know, government officials, you know, even the working people have the good motivation, right?
Yeah.
Because they motivate people to, you know, employment, which is very important, because employment is about health, is about opportunity, it's about networking, right? And getting access to, you know, employment might be the biggest hardest, and because it just have a lot of barriers for resident communities.
Mm.
And most of them, you know, they don't express themselves, and they find their complexity with social networking, right? Even finding opportunities is very hard for, you know, resettled communities.
Yeah,
and
true.
On the other side, if working income have very less knowledge about what their backgrounds are, they cannot work out it, because, you know, because one of the times that my mom went in, and my mom said that a working income asked her to go to, you know, do a cleaning job. And I told, you know, my mom that why you need to go to a cleaning job, why do you have a degree and you are a graduate teacher back in the country, right? So, and she also recognized by the New Zealand Qualification Authority, right, for her qualification as a graduate teacher. So the complexity is, you know, work and income didn't given her a path, right? Either they could have said, why don't you go and do a diploma in teaching? You know what I mean? So they didn't give her that option. They gave her to say, oh, all right, you can go and work as a cleaner, right? We have that work available for you, right? And cleaner might be a very temporary job. Yeah, you can go and work as a cleaner. There is no social disparity or social complexity, but working as a cleaner, right? It's still a job. It's still something that you earn money off.
Right.
It's nothing as a social compatibility.
Right.
But in a long-term way, people who are very much passionate about one single job or worked in that specific sector, they won't be very effective working on a different sector, right? Because if you put a teacher to go and just, you know, cut meat or, you know, or become a butcher, they cannot be. It takes
because
a longer time for them to...
It's not their area, too.
Yeah.
It's not their area. They cannot perform well there.
Yeah, and she's already 60 years old, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
How she go and to a new work and learn the new work? And it takes at least 10 to 12 years to learn a job, right? It's a transition period for everyone to be a professional in a field that they work in. It's like 10 to 12 years. So she already been in employment for 22 years as a teacher. So they haven't looked at how to utilize what they have. They looked at, you know, giving them what they have to them.
Hmm.
Right? So which what we call as a forced employment compared to, you know, optional employment. Optional employment is directing them, giving them more option by saying that either you can go and study, either you can go and work there and then study as well. Work part-time and study, and you have two options, right? You can earn money, you can support yourself, you don't need to be on the government support, and you also could be able to study, and in 5 years, you will be a teacher, or in 3 years, you will be a teacher, right? So that's the approach that I really want Welcoming Up to shift into, right? The officials should look their perspective by saying how we can utilize the population into an employable population.
Yeah.
How we can turn them around. What are the options that they have or what are the things that they wanted to do and how we can utilize their knowledge and skills into something that's workable.
New Zealand is really a very good country and there are a lot of good things in here. It's a matter of, you know, having a dialogue, because it's a dialogue that will bring up things that are working and which are not working. So it's about adjusting things. But generally, we're good here. It's only a matter of finding the common ground, you know. Take it to the community. Yeah. You know, let the community have a say. If it is the environment, what are the issues they have there, not to protect the environment? You know, we have to listen to. You know, it's not a good idea that the government should be the one to do everything all the time.
Chief.
No, things are at stake here, you know.
Yeah, and we are very good at employment rate as well, because we only have 12.9% as an unemployment rate.
Yeah.
Right, but the other side of, you know, why it's need a more effort with resettled communities, it just because, you know, as you said, it's need a true level of, you know, understanding. It's educating the resettled communities and also educating the people who are in work and income, who are working for, you know, resettled communities.
Forever, yeah.
Right? Because it's two-way side of doing both things will make sure that it's, you know, it's make the bridge way easier, right? Because if the bridge is way easier to cross, the resettled community could be able to access those employment that's available to them.
That's right.
Right? So it's just two level of educating both sides. Educating the work income officials who are working at the work income and also educating resettled communities about what they can utilize and what services are offered to them.
That's
and
right.
What's about academic, you know, accommodation supplement, how they could, you know, find employment, you know, how they can seek for employment and who they can talk to. Because not many people in resettlement community does not know about the SNAP Hire or the manpower agencies, you know, because they are recruitment agencies, right? And you just pay a cut for, you know, recruitment agencies and you get to be able to find a job very easily.
Yeah,
and they work for you.
Yeah,
right?
That would work.
And I know a lot of friends who got work from SNAP Hire, right?
Mm.
I'm not marketing for them, but I'm saying, you know, just SNAP Hire, you know, literally got a lot of people jobs. Right?
All right, we will go for a break and then we will come back. We are talking about the resettlement journey. You know, what are the things, you know, can keep you strong moving? Not, you know, don't get pushed down by the things that happened to you in the past. So let the past go and move forward. That's where you will reach your destination, because you have a destination. Don't stop in the middle. And then we will come back and talk to you.
We will talk more.
A lot of
just,
things.
Just listen to this song.
This is the weekend getting even. Oh. We spent the late nights making things right between us. But now it's all good, babe. What about wood, babe? And let me close. Cause girls like you run around with guys like me till sundown. When I come through, I need a girl like you, yeah, yeah. Girls like you love fun and yeah, me do what I want. When I come through, I need a girl like you, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I need a girl like you, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
6:45. Maybe I'm barely alive. Maybe you're taking my shit for the last time. Yeah. Maybe I know that I'm drunk. Maybe I know you're the one. Maybe I'm thinking it's better if you drive. Girls like you run around with guys like me till sundown. When I come through, I need a girl like you, yeah.
Not too long ago, I was dancing for dollars. No, it's really rude if I let you be my mama. You don't want a girl like me, I'm too crazy. Where every other girl you meet is too gazy. I'm sure them other girls were nice enough, but you need someone to spice it up. So who you gonna call? Cardi, Cardi. Coming right up like a Harley, Harley. Why is the best food always forbidden? I'm coming to you now doing 20 over the limit. The red light, stop. I don't play when it comes to my heart, let's get it though. I don't really want a white horse in a carriage. I'm thinking more of white horses and carriage. I need you right here, cause every time you fall, I play with this kitty like you play with your guitar.
Girls like you, girls like you, guys like me, just come down when I come through. I need a girl like you, yeah, yeah. Girls like you, girls like you, me, do what I want when I come through. I need a girl.
Yeah, we are back online. It's Planet FM 104.6. It's Resettle Radio, and you are with Joby and
Gadluak Shul. And we will change our name from Resettlement Radio to Reset Radio in maybe in a few weeks. I think we will do that. We will do advertisement for that.
That's even surprising to me. that's a good name, though. You know, as you say, Reset.
Yeah, RCC Reset Radio. That would be the name.
Oh, that's so classy. That's so modern.
Yeah.
That's so modern.
So the world is changing and us, we are changing too.
Yeah. That's so good.
We will be reset from...
it's also good meaningful, as you say, reset.
Yeah.
You know, radio.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like reset the radio. Yeah, that's cool.
Sounds great, eh?
Yeah, that sounds great. Right, so
I think we have talked a lot about, you know, resettlement issues and social issues affecting communities. But now we want to come back with a fresh topic, and we will be talking about immunization of measles.
Yeah, and why? Because as we, you know, described earlier, that there was a major issue, an outbreak of measles in America, in the U.S. So after the outbreak, they realized that, what was happening in the community. They went down and did a research about how that outbreak has happened, and they realized that, certain part of the community in New York, that they didn't vaccinate properly, right? So what that does it call, which is called herd immunity, that means that mostly in population, that not everyone get vaccinated. So asked, I even not get vaccinated.
Does
last
it get all people? Like maybe not all, like
yes,
from the age of
so
maybe
if
20.
Let's say if a population is like 10 people, right? So if like say 7 people get vaccinated, that will protect the other 3 people who are not get vaccinated, right? Why? Because infections, like, they go from one person to the other. So if you prevent them from going from one person to the other, you can protect the person that who couldn't even get vaccinated. Because there are people who are autoimmune, right? There are people who can't even
susceptible to diseases. Yeah,
susceptible to diseases, or maybe disabled, or have other issues, HIV or cancer, right? Because cancer patients, they get chemotherapy, so their immune cells are already dead, right? So they are immunosuppressants, right? So their immune cells are suppressed, so their immunity levels are very low.
Yeah, it's down.
So that's why what they does is they immunize the people that they can, so that it protect the people who couldn't even get immunization. So that's what called as a herd immunity.
Oh, okay.
So this was affected because some part of the people, they put themselves saying vaccinating is a guy's religion, right? And some of the religious faith, you know, back in the U.S., is even across even New Zealand, some part of New Zealand, does have the faith of, you know, not vaccinating it, because they say it's against what the nature is, right? Because, you know, it's against what, you know, how we can get a disease by nature.
But and a religion is a healthy community. Why would they do that?
Does, but some part of the community, they even have their own schooling system, so they don't let them study some time and also, you know, control their children, you know.
I know about Amish people.
Yeah, right, so it does, yeah, Amish people, they are like more isolated communities, right, and they don't, you know, let their children go forward. But I do think that there is a religious change that has happened even with Amish people. Some part of the Amish people, they even came out of that whole system.
They came off the system.
Right, and they started thinking that, or we have to get educated for the world, because if you don't, is you have a less chance of surviving what's going to be open up about the world. Because I do see even some part of the communities from Indonesia, because I was watching a documentary about a community in Indonesia that they don't get access to technology. So they have like zero laptops, there's no mobile phone. Yeah, they don't get access to any type of technology, no TV, nothing at all.
Oh, man.
Right? That community have lived that life for more than 100 years. Right? And one of the things that what they did, some part of the, you know, Indonesian government and NGOs, they implemented a system to teach some of the younger people from the community to use mobile phones.
Yeah.
And one of the issues is that they cannot use mobile phone when they go into their village, right? So what they do, they come out of the village because they don't have electricity and stuff. So one of the reasons, and they also have a restriction over it. So they come out of the village and use technology. So sometimes, you know, beliefs and structures, you know, this does prevent, as I say, you know, the immunization was prevented because of the religious belief, right? And I still read a story about a mom in New York, and she said that her religious freedom was, you know, persecuted because of, you know, the vaccination that was carried out by the district health board. Which one way, if they don't do it, that will gonna affect someone else. You know what I mean?
So
the question is not only about you, it's also about someone who isn't you. You know what I mean? So it's also protecting someone who is most vulnerable in the community, right? By vaccinating someone who is, you know, able to get vaccinated. And that's, and also say how vaccination works. So vaccination is, let's say, you know, for gout, look, I'm taking a syringe and I'm sending a vaccine. Vaccine is pretty much like a killed virus.
Yeah.
Right? So it's a virus that, give you a disease. It can be an influenza for your...
Because,
you know,
I think it's not affecting you, even if you are sick already with some other disease that you may have.
Yep.
But it has nothing to do with that, because it's just a vaccine. Is for that specific disease, whether it's a measles or whether it's, how do you call it, polio?
Even polio and measles were thought to be eradicated.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because measles is literally eradicated in New Zealand, right? They took out the measles outside of New Zealand. How they did it is over time, vaccination, all the process, polio.
Because it took a long time.
Yeah, it took a long time, right? Even with polio. Polio is vaccine, eradicated now. Just because of the over time, you know, vaccination and all the United Nations program, right? Which was, you know, United Nations Health or the World Health Forum, which implemented, you know, the vaccination of the polio and prevent it from, because polio affected a lot
of
children.
I remember I participated in a polio campaign in 1998 in Kenya. It was run by UNICEF.
Yes.
And we had to go to the villages, you know, in the rainy season. It was really pretty bad. And then when we got there, we had to follow the communities because, you know, they come from one area to another, and then we become like, you know, following the communities. And to make it worse, we were told to give sex education there, Oh man, that was the worst one in my life. You know,
just because,
and we were told to demonstrate the condoms, and that was a point in time we were only the ones left. Everybody left. You know?
Everybody left. Just because it's kind of, you know, how we can overcome those issues, because some part of the world, the communities are not well that much educated about you know, science, or you know, even about diseases, or even about vaccinations.
Yeah.
That's why I say, you know, education is very primary to every single one around the world. Just telling them what was the trouble or what was the struggle. Because I do see in one part of it, people only come to realization after things go wrong. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And pre-prevention is something that everyone working on. You know, everyone working on how we can pre-prevent something before it go worse.
Yeah.
See, polio lead into, you know, losing your legs, mostly disabled, paralyzed. Right, and kids, if they got paralyzed, if they lose their entire, you know, body from moving and being disabled.
I saw a lot of kids who have no, you know, the legs are paralyzed. It could be one leg, it could be both legs, and the person would be like, you know,
disabled for life.
Disabled for life, you know, is crawling down and.
Yeah, and think about the kids' life from their perspective.
In my family, I've got two cases with polio. I got my two cousins, one a boy, one a girl. You know, a boy as right leg is paralyzed, and a girl, you know, both legs paralyzed. You know, and it's really a very bad idea.
Yeah, and see what does the vaccination does to it, right? Vaccination remove the entire disease from, you know, from the world, and which is the best thing that, you know, that you could do, you know. I know that religion is very important to people, right? Mm. Because, you know, religious persecution, you know, something that say, guys, what your religious beliefs are important. But more than, you know, religion, people are important, right? And your children are important. At some time, your children might survive, but not the children who couldn't survive. Because some part of the immunity is very different from one person to the other.
Yeah, but what I didn't understand, what I didn't get, what I didn't know is that, you know, there are areas which are very far away from the hospitals. You know, there's no presence of primary health care centers. No, none. Nothing is existing there. And my question would be, I don't know if it has an answer. It would be, how can one take care of himself where there's no possibility of vaccination, immunization, and any kind of a disease? I know it's very difficult to answer, because, you know, we don't control the diseases where there's no control. And
it's a pretty good question. So this is what, you know, UNICEF implemented the polio eradication program, right? So when they implement the program, they implement it at the school level.
Yeah.
Right, so I would say that immunization should be, you know, something that's mandatory, right?
Yeah.
That people, you know, you can give choices with other stuff, not with immunizing people, right? Immunization is very important. If you don't, you know, a bacteria can kill you.
It has to be
a
compulsory.
Yeah.
You have to be immunized.
Yeah, you have to be immunized. And even at the earlier life, you know, when the children go to schools, they get the proper vaccination programs, right?
Yeah.
Implement the program at the school level.
Yeah.
Right? Implement health at the school level so we can recover entire generation from getting vaccinated. Right? You know what I mean?
Yeah. And talking about that, last week I followed news from Malawi in Africa. And the Minister of Health of Malawian government, you know, took it very seriously. And they want to prevent cervical cancer. And so they went out to do vaccination for the young girls, HPV, and they vaccinated. I think they cover a lot of counties, a lot of regions there, because for them it's very high, and they say if there are 100,000 people, girls, at least there should be 31. Who have cases of cervical cancer, you know. And when those cases, 80% of them, you know, don't make it.
Yeah.
So that's why the government took it seriously. And then there was a report made by WHO, the World Health Organization. And it says, you know, in every year, there are about 500,000 cases. And most of these, you know, 80% of those cases 80% of 500,000 cases are in the third world countries.
In the third world countries.
So maybe my country is getting a bulk of it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. And one of the things that you mentioned, cervical cancer. Cervical cancer is much prevalent in New Zealand as well.
Mm.
Right? It's one of the, you know, highest rate of the cancer rate in New Zealand between OECD countries.
Yeah.
And why? It's because some girls, because it's not mandatory for girls to get vaccination for HPV in New Zealand.
Oh,
so
okay.
It's something that even New Zealand government should look at, you know, how they can place a mandatory vaccination for HPV.
Hmm.
Because, you know, if you does get vaccinated, you have a 70% chance to reduce
to survive,
the,
to survive,
you know,
even if you get it.
Yeah. Even, you know, there is an occurrence for cervical cancer, you have 70% chance to reduce, you know, the probability of having a cervical cancer. So, which is something even New Zealand could look through, right? Look at, you know, how vaccination would be important and make it mandatory, right? If they do make it mandatory and place it as school programs and also instruct, you know, the people, because I know that, you know, in New Zealand as well, that you can have a, you know, boarding school, that you can, you know, have a homeschooling, that it's also allocated, you know, that's people who are parents can homeschool kids at, you know, at their home, right? And I do know that's also some part of the difficulty because, you know, that's allowed because that's per is also some kind of religious belief, right? And that's also given as an option to, you know, parents to, you know, homeschool them. But one other side is looking at, you know, how you could vaccinate those population who are getting homeschooled, right? And making sure that the disease is not crossing over. Because, you know, as you said, you know, some part of the community, they cannot get vaccinated. One of the part of the community is a tribal community is living near to the Bengal area and near to the India, right? You might heard about the story about the Indian pastor. You know, it's a foreign pastor. It's a British pastor who went to the island, which is tribal people who are living there more than, you know, 100 to 200 years. But they never get a human contact. They are the people that they never get across humans at all. So they're living apart from the entire world.
Oh, man.
And that became, the India announced the entire island as a reserve island. That no people can get across. So no one is allowed to go there. One of the major reasons is that it's also led them to have, you know, diseases and stuff, you know, so they can get diseases very easily, infections very easily. And remember, bacteria and virus, they are not very easy people. And remember about, because I was reading about the 1918s, you know, epidemics, right, which is, you know, the influenza epidemics. It killed 51 million people, right, within that year. Right, so 51 million like wiped out, and this guy in U.S. So he, because you know, U.S. and Soviet Union had the, you know, after the epidemic outbreak, you know, the pandemic outbreak.
Yeah.
So U.S. and Soviet Union, they got the influenza virus. You know, they got the, you know, a sample of the virus. His virus mutated. Right, so they got the influenza virus, and this guy in US, he done a research on those virus, and he modified that virus to be an airborne. Right, so the virus can infect you, because before influenza couldn't infect you through, you know, unless you get a severe close contact. But this virus could, you know, they re-engineered to let the virus can spread in air, right, much more frequently.
Yeah.
And he published that research in the website, you know, he was publishing the, you know, his research in open space. And one of the major things is, you know, it can be used in a future weaponry system, right? So looking at, you know, using about bioweapons, right, which is called using virus to infect people. And why? Because a virus can kill and populate within seconds.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Very fast.
Yeah, it can, you know, spread very fast.
Yeah, yeah. It's very
and,
quick to spread.
And the spreading ratio is calculated to be like less than 24 hours. Is what enough to kill entire population?
It can wipe out communities.
Yeah, it can wipe out an entire country in 24 hours, right? Very closely. Because that's how we, our migrations are. We moved very fast. One person who goes every single time, New Zealand get every week, New Zealand get at least, you know, 100,000 people coming and going out, right? And at least, you know, 100,000 people who are getting across. Right, who are moving from Wellington to Auckland, who are moving from Auckland to Queenstown, or someone is going out or coming out. If one person getting infected, the infection will spread out very quickly, as much as possible to all over New Zealand, you know, and even through food, even through, you know, things that you carry, you know, everywhere the virus could get infected. So this is a reality of infection, is when infection getting into someone who is not vaccinated, that started using the person as a host, right, and produce a resistant virus, right? Because every year the virus become resistant, right? They turn, it's pretty much like,
and that's what scares the scientists, is because of, you know, the resistant. Because if the body gets resisting to the drugs or to vaccinations, so you know, it's a big setback, and the scientists might be drawn to square one again to find out what would be the better way to handle the resistance within the body.
Yeah, even see Ebola outbreak, right, which was a recent epidemic that we had, is it's also connected to the religious belief, because you know that some part of Muslims, that they started burying bodies, and they also had the burial system, because that was very conservatively talked about the infection grounds, right, because you know they are not burning the bodies, so they were burying the bodies.
Yeah, because some cultures are not allowed, you know,
to burn the body. Right, so
my culture too does not allow to burn the body.
Right, but at the time when the infection was going around, when people were, you know, getting a close contact with the person who is got infected with Ebola, that started in, you know, it's kind of a network, right? Because one person in your community died, everyone in your community goes to the funeral, right? And they get infected.
And when they come back, so they brought the disease.
They brought the disease with them.
So a lot will get sick.
Get sick, and they infect the other. They infect the other, and they infect their own family. Yeah, they infect their relatives.
It goes on, so it's spreading so fast.
So fast, right?
And it's like a cholera. There was a time we had a cholera in one of the refugee camps in Ethiopia. That was in the late 80s. It was really pretty bad. A lot of people died. It was like, you know, it gets you in the morning, and then by the noon time you're gone.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, you cannot even see your, you know, one person that you see on the street. Yeah. They will be there on the morning, on the evening, they will be gone.
I saw a lot who were dying, but, you know, the health care was very poor, because it's a refugee camp anyway. Nothing is enough.
Nothing is enough.
Yeah.
And it's already overpopulated.
It's
right?
All overpopulated, around 25 million.
Yeah.
And so, I mean 25,000 people.
Right.
25,000 people in one small camp. That's a lot.
And so the step that you could do, because, you know, you might be a resettled community, you are listening, what you can do in New Zealand. New Zealand also have an influenza epidemic, right, which is, you know, during winter that you get your cold, or even during summer you might came across diseases, even with cervical cancer, HPV. Get, you know, your young girls, you know, if they ever, you know, girl, or if you are a woman, just get HPV vaccination as much as possible.
And especially
right?
if you are a newcomer in this country and you have kids, please make sure that they are vaccinated.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of diseases which are already eradicated in New Zealand, and maybe you come from where that area is active with those diseases. You never know what you bring to New Zealand. Okay. So it's a good thing for both New Zealand and for your family as well.
Yeah.
Because it will not be a big issue for New Zealand, and also the kids will be healthy.
Yeah.
It's all about...
One of the good things about New Zealand healthcare is, you know, as soon as a refugee comes in, they also get the health screening. So they always get pre-vaccination before they go into their community.
Yeah.
But, you know, virus, they evolve every single year. So it's good to get vaccinated again, right? If you know, it's especially for HPV, right? Because it's not vaccinated that much at the start when you came as a refugee before, like, say, 5 or 6 years before.
Because you never know what will come,
you know?
You never know.
Yeah, you never know. And check with your doctor and get vaccinated, especially for HPV, and, you know, especially for, you know, the influenza during winter.
Yeah.
And also check if your kids were vaccinated properly, right? At some time that you might not knowing, you know, whether your kids are vaccinated properly, right? Check with them. To go to a doctor and ask them, you know, a vaccination chart.
And also, if you are new in New Zealand, especially in Auckland, and you don't know how to go about in the community, in the how to get GP and how to get connected with the health services, and it's like too much to you because you are new, please make sure you get in touch with ARCC. You can just go to our website, get details there, or drop in by our office, or just call us at 846-0110, you know. Anybody will be happy to help you out.
Yeah, and ARCC could, you know, connect you with any community health workers. You know, yeah. There is community health workers that we might not came across, you know, but there is a community health
worker. We are a bridge between you and somebody who will provide the service. So that's why ARCC is handy in that.
Yeah, and it's not easy also to get access to the community health workers.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
just because it's with the Auckland Health Board, which is, you know the main Auckland Health Board, they do have the community health workers. So get across them and, you know, get knowledge about health, because it's very important.
It's very important. It's good for your kids, for your family to be healthy.
Yeah, and
the health of your family is healthy for New Zealand.
And, you know, look at those, you know, immunization charts and look at, you know, how you could go from there to being a healthy family, right? And having a good health knowledge is important, right? And that's where everyone's standing. Yeah. And we can break in now and just go for, you know, a small song.
And I think it comes to an end of our program. And then we will be back again next Saturday. And we will come back with a different topic. And thank you for listening.
Yeah, and I never even realized this is 5:47. Right, so we came to the end. And thank you all for listening. And just keep in mind, immunization, eco-friendly. And we also talked about employment, right? And see you guys. Take care.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Dance Stage USA. Our next song is Sia's Cheap Thrills. Have you heard the song?
Yes, I have.
And what do you think?
I think it's got a good beat and you can dance to it.
Sounds swell. Let's listen now.
Up with it, girl. Rock with it, girl. Show them it, girl. Bada bang bang. Bounce with it, girl. Dance with it, girl. Get with it, girl. Bada bang bang.
Come on, turn the radio.